when I retire. Don't wanna have to worry when I retire. I don't wanna have to fret. It's my desire, but I can't be in a hurry, 'cause I don't think I can retire quite yet.
We're going to talk about being prepared for retirement and having an awesome retirement with the Retiree Rebels. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Retirement is the beginning of a new phase of life that is full of struggles and successes, that is full of opportunities and challenges. We will explore retirement with the Retiree Rebels, and we will welcome your questions, and we'll welcome your own experiences. So, have you recently retired? How is that going for you? Everything hunky-dory, or are you running into some issues? If you've been retired for a while, have you overcome any obstacles? Are you hitting your stride? Do you have any maybe questions or even your own advice? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Carol Larson is a writer and award-winning reporter and documentary producer. And Mary Helen Conroy is a reinvention life coach and change strategist. Carol and Mary Helen are the co-creators of Retiree Rebels, which offers blogs and podcasts and much more for the newly and nearly retired. And Carol Larson is a former journalist and producer at Wisconsin Public Television. So we know each other. Good morning.
Yes, used to see you in the hallway.
Yeah, now you have retired.
Yes.
And I'm very happy to meet Mary Helen Conroy. We have not met in the hallways until today.
No, we haven't, Joy. Thank you for having us.
But it's good to have you both here. Well, first of all, how did you two meet up and decide to become Retiree Rebels?
Oh, that's one of those stories, and I have to credit Mary Helen for this one, because we were both retired, not, you know, probably within a couple of years of each other, but we didn't know each other, but we were both members of an organization called Wisconsin Women Entrepreneurs, and a mutual friend of ours heard both of our stories and knew that we were, she said, you both have the same issues with ageism and running into this wall that says you're old now, you're done with life, and I think what she saw in both of us, that we were both kind of ticked off about it. And she said, you two ought to meet and talk. And Mary Helen at that time was doing what she called her 50 cups of coffee challenge in meeting new people at retirement. And I'll let you tell people what that is.
Well, one of the things, Joy, is that I don't use the word retire.
What do you say?
I'm the CEO of my life. Would you like to hear about that? Because all of a sudden you're brain dead if you're retired. And I really, when I left my career job in a publication, I didn't know anybody in Madison. And I knew that day that I was 62 years old. I knew that because of my age, my gender, my salary level, I was not going to find another job. And I could spend the next year of my life listening to a lot of no's. So I decided that wasn't useful. So in order to meet people, I challenged myself to 50 cups of coffee, not on the same day, Joy.
Well, I would have done that.
I know, I would have too. During the year. And so I just met with some fabulous, fabulous people to hear their stories of what they now did, how they lived their lives, who they could recommend that I could meet, but more so that I knew I could move ahead. And I think that's what the retired need, is some vision that keep going, keep meeting, keep getting out of the door. Staying inside is one of the biggest killers for retirees.
Yeah. So, Carol, what do you think people expect when they retire? What are we expecting?
Well, we have a very, very outdated idea of what retirement is. And that's, you know, if for lack of, you know, having to explain 100 years of retirement ideas, it's the rocking chair. And that is the antithesis of the reality today. The rocking chair stereotype of people, you know, being done with life and no longer, you know, being, contributing to society or productive or living different new dreams. Today, that's what the majority of the retiring baby boomers are after. They're after this is a new opportunity, a new beginning to start doing things that they haven't had time or energy to do while they were raising a family and were doing a job and everything. So this is the time to start anew. But they're hamstrung by this old idea of when you retire, you're done. A friend of mine who also, like Mary Helen, refuses to use the word retired because she said the minute you say retired, people look at you, and she was very specific. You are old, doddering, and you will never make another significant contribution in the world again. And, you know, she's now 74, and she still calls herself a naturalist. She's out doing talks and whatnot. And I have to agree, the minute you say retired, people go, oh, well, you don't have anything interesting to say.
Yeah, I don't know if baby boomers are thinking, I am just going to sit in the rocking chair, but I think, I'm wondering if there's some that are saying, you know what, I've worked enough, I want to have some fun now.
Yes, but that doesn't mean rocking chair.
Rocking chair sounds deadly.
And I think that it's our generation, however, Joy, saw the generation ahead of us. And we saw a generation that retired from the mills or from farming, and they retired, and 6 months later, they had died. We've got that cultural feeling in our head that when you retire, it's not good. And that's what we're really about. We talk to those that are nearly and newly retired with RetireeRebels.com to say, okay, take a look at your life, and let's see where we can move, whether it's the bucket list, whether it's seeing grandchildren or whatever, but trying to figure out how to do that, because there's some real issues when you retire, one of which is you're exhausted.
Yeah.
You've been working for 40 years and you haven't had a good night's sleep.
You know, that's funny because I was going to say, Carol might know that my husband retired just a couple of years ago, actually 3 years ago, from a longtime broadcast journalism career. He had done an early morning anchor job at an area TV station. And when he retired 3 years ago, he just went right into his so-called encore career. It wasn't full-time, but he's a yoga instructor now. And he did.
How wonderful. And,
yeah, so he's enjoying that. But he also said, you know what, I kind of wish I would have taken a breather for a little while and just, you know, maybe go to Tahiti or something. I don't know. When someone retires, should you have that all lined up that you're just going to jump right into that encore career?
Well, it's interesting because I thought I had, you know, 6 years ago when I took retirement, I thought, you know, here I'm going to quit and start my encore career as a writer and, you know, the great American novel, and I'm going to do all of these things. But retirement is not just a switch that you flip.
Yep.
And you may think what you're going to do, but until you're really there, you really don't even know what it's like. A friend of mine said it's like being pregnant. You really don't know what it's like to be a parent until you actually have the child up at 2 in the morning. And so retirement is very much like that. It's a transition. It's not a switch.
And that's where the life coaching change comes in, Joy, is that we've been here before. When you graduate from high school, when you graduate from college, when you get married, when you get divorced, all of those are significant changes. And we have that happen. So we've had many divorced women and men say, oh, it's just like that. All of a sudden, you've lost everything you've known. You walk out the door from whatever business you were in. You no longer have a name tag. You no longer have an office. You no longer have a place to go in the morning. You no longer have a calendar you have to keep. And sometimes, we joke about this all the time, you don't have a stapler. Because the only stapler you've had was in your office. And so, but people don't understand everything. All their identity has completely changed.
Yeah, and that results sometimes in newly retired people really bumming out, getting depressed.
Oh, the numbers are awful.
Yeah.
It's One survey said 40% the first year suffer from depression, and it doesn't get better. It gets worse. The second year, it's 50% depression rates. And it's I think, because people are being told, isn't life wonderful? But as Mary Helen pointed out, you're going through a huge identity transition, which, like those other circumstances, you know, whether it's marriage or divorce or graduation, that's a minimum of 3 years,
right,
psychologists say, for a major life transition. And you're still in that process.
Yeah. So what? How long does it take to transition? I mean,
it takes the 3 years, Joy. I
some
wish
of it
that,
takes, some of us it takes a little bit.
Six for you, Carol. I think we've got you out of here. Okay. Generally, it is 3 years, because in a change model, if you think that you're retiring and you're now zipping down to what you thought was retiring, getting down to the dumps, everybody's got to face that they have ended something that they spent a large amount of their life with. There's an ending, there's a grieving, there's a sorrow to that. And those that jump right into doing XYZ, going to Tahiti is good because at least you can rest. But if we don't face that loss, just like a death, it's a loss of who we were. And then you can start building up. So generally it does take the 3 years. And that's why we ask people to play with being retired earlier than when they're 65.
How do I do that?
Oh, well, I know.
This is where the fun starts.
Well, you know, even, you know how hard it is for anybody to take 2 weeks of vacation.
Yeah, I know that. I hardly ever take 2 weeks of vacation.
Who takes 2 weeks of vacation? But that's one of the things that maybe you could do. Test out those things, whether you want to write the books, then go to the UW Writers Conference 2 years beforehand. If you want to paint, then start doing it now. Don't wait till retirement to do all the things that you think you'd like to. But it is about meeting new people and keeping your ideas going on the Jesus Network.
I like that idea. So, but how do, and Carol, maybe you can help too, how do I prepare that, you know, it's going to be a while before I retire, and sure, I'll take some good 2 week vacations and stuff like that and go to the workshops. But should I have that, you know, I'm going to be that encore career all set up for day one of retirement? I mean, is that what I need to do before I retire?
Well, as Mary Helen said, sometimes you just need to take a break and give it some time. But what you can be doing right now is starting to think, what is it that I left behind? What is it? What dream was there that I couldn't pursue? And maybe start with that. Jerry Apps did an interview with us about creativity and aging and writing. And he said it's amazing to him how many people that he knows that have gone back to high school, grade school even, and those things that they couldn't do then, suddenly they have the time and they come burbling up inside and they become painters or illustrators or sculptors or writers. And so there's, look at the neglected dreams and drives and maybe that artistic bent that you couldn't pursue before. But also be ready for discovery, because once you have time on your hands, who knows what's going to come up.
We are talking about retirement and preparing for retirement and getting the most out of retirement. And I'm using the word retirement because I don't know what else to say. So,
language problem. Yeah.
And we are welcoming your questions for our two guests who are called the Retiree Rebels. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your own experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guests are Carol Larson and Mary Helen Conroy. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We are talking about the many opportunities and challenges of retirement with our two guests who are the Retiree Rebels. Carol Larson and Mary Helen Conroy. They offer blogs and podcasts and public appearances for the newly and the nearly retired. And one of our guests, Mary Helen Conroy, is also the author of the book, Your Amazing Itty Bitty Retirement Book, 15 Essential Tips for You, the Nearly and Newly Retired. So, Mary Helen, why are you the retiree rebels?
You know, Joy, it's kind of fun because we had to come up with a name for what we were going to do. And again, we're podcasts, basically, or like Carol likes to say, we're radio on the computer so that anybody can click and listen to what we talk about. But for naming it, we realized that in order to be a retiree today, you have to be rebellious. And we're a generation of boomers that have rebelled against so many things. We knew that we had to do something about race issues, feminism, workloads. We are the generation of Vietnam, and we need to rebel about the old standards of what retirement is. And so what we basically say is, you know what? The best retirement is your retirement, and it's your gift. It's your bonus years.
Mm-hmm. But to get there, you have to rebel against those old stereotypes. I mean, we're in the middle of a revolution that maybe only 20% of the population even knows about. It's called the longevity revolution. Yeah. We're not only living longer, but we're living healthier, more active, more engaged lives. So that period between 65 and 75, these newly retiring baby boomers are just, you know, ready to go. And yet, what they run into, the same thing Mary Helen and I ran into, was this wall that says you're done. And so you have to be a rebel to get out there and get past that old stereotype, that discrimination that says you're over 65, you're done, you know, you're finished.
Well, we have a lot of callers who are either considering or newly retired, maybe retired a little longer and have some advice. Let's go to Joyce in Franklin first. Hi, Joyce.
Hello.
Hello.
I had planned to retire last year in 2016, and it was because I was just so fatigued and I was so tired and I had been working for so long, and the whole idea of taking vacations, my vacations were like 3-4 days in length, and then I found out the reason why I was so fatigued was because I had developed cancer.
Oh, no.
And it was leukemia. So since March of last year, I have gone through the blood transplant, and I am in recovery now.
Oh, good.
But I am so full of energy, and I am so ready to stop doing laundry and cleaning the house and doing just all the interior stuff. Yeah. I'm ready to go. And I want to do photography. I want to do so many things that I wasn't able to do when I was working full time.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing well, Joyce. And good for you with the photography, and I'm glad your recovery's on course. You know, that reminds me too that life is so short, and I'm glad Joyce is going to be okay. But that crosses my mind when I'm seeing people my age.
Mm-hmm. We do a lot of talking on the podcast about what do you do with your time and energy, because I'm not as energetic as when I was 20 or 30, and that's not a bad thing. It's just one of those adaptations that we make, and it's not a black and white thing. It's not old, young. It's a spectrum of gray. But it's that idea, what's your priority now? And Joyce has made that. You know, she's decided, I want to get into photography. I left that behind because I was too busy. I mean, boomers were workers. We're all just worked ourselves crazy. Yeah. And now she's looking at going, I have this much time and this much energy, and this is what I want to do with it. Yeah. And that's great.
I think that's where, you know, we do a lot of work at the senior centers around the area, and they are amazing. I've got to tell you that so many people sit in their cars outside of a senior center and go, I'm not old enough to go there. I'm not going in. I encourage you to go in. please go in and check it out. I mean, her photography, she could have her work up on the walls there. She can take a course. She can meet another person there that wants to do it. We have been totally amazed. And again, that's our mental picture of what a senior center is that it's old and ugly and dying. It's not. It's vibrant and wonderful. And it's just another place that we can meet some co-conspirator in your own life that maybe you could do something a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, because one of the big things that happens when you walk out the door of your job is that you leave your colleagues behind. I mean, they're working, they're busy, and suddenly you realize, you know, where's my friendships? And one of the problems right now with the retiring baby boomers is that we don't have the kind of social relationships that the previous generations did. We maybe aren't aligned with a church, or we may not even know who our neighbors are. And so it's time to create new relationship loops. And senior centers, and even they hate the name, because they know the connotations of senior or old and all the baggage that that carries with it. But they're great places.
I'm glad you brought that up, because so many times your coworkers are your friends.
Absolutely.
And then when you retire, you don't have that daily contact as much with other people.
And one of the things, Joy, that's really... And it's one of the things that moves my work, if we can inspire somebody to meet somebody else. Because loneliness in retirement right now is as dangerous to somebody, at least in the ARP research, as having 15 cigarettes a day.
Wow.
1 in 5 retired people are going to be lonely, and they're not going to know what to do with it. 20%, is it 20% that's going to be an elder orphan?
Up to 23% of people who might be in what they now call an elder orphan. I mean, the language is just starting to evolve here, where people do not have the support network around them, whether it's family or neighbors or church affiliations, to even make a hospital visit where you have to have somebody drive you. And that's going to get worse as we get older.
We are talking about having an awesome retirement, how to deal with the issues, the struggles, the challenges of retirement, but also how to find those great opportunities and successes. And we're welcoming your questions and your own experiences at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Mary Helen Conroy and Carol Larson are our guests, and our next caller is Eugene in Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
I always tell people this way. I'm a year and a half away from 80. And this winter, I signed up to do substitute teaching for one of the local districts. I didn't figure they'd pick me up. They did. And I can still hold my own physically and mentally in the classroom. Technology may have changed, but students haven't. And I'm also a sutler at Civil War reenactments. I'm getting set to do my first event in about 4 weeks. And about 4 years ago, I owned a Victorian, and I was working off 40-foot ladders painting this place, and I didn't figure the fall was going to bother me. It's just that sudden stop.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So you didn't really fall, though, right?
No,
Eugene?
I didn't fall. But what I'm saying is I'm on the go, and yeah. I still run a cover 100 in about 18 seconds flat, and I'd always figure I'm staying ahead of my creditors.
There you go.
He's got a good sense of humor, too. That's important. But
keep going, Eugene.
Yeah. So there we go. Yeah.
It's interesting because, we used to say people like Eugene were an exception, and now they're getting to be the norm. So you have people that keep going and keep figuring out, you know, what kind of purposeful, productive activity can I have, and what kind of contribution can I make in this life? And they keep going.
You know, I'm seeing a lot of stories just recently, and I'm not sure why this is, but seeing the 100-year-old yoga instructor and the 86-year-old marathon runner, and it's making me feel very inadequate, because I don't think I can do that. I mean, we don't have to be superstars, do we?
Yeah. No, we don't. And Joy, it was really funny because I often say that when I was 19, I thought I had the rest of my life to live. And I did.
Yeah.
But you know what? At 65, I have the rest of my life to live. And sometimes it's sitting on a couch reading a good book. Sometimes it's working with Carol. Sometimes it's taking a walk. But now I can choose that. And it's the choice factor that I think retirement really offers us in our bonus years. That you can be who you are for the very first time. There's no boss telling you what to do. There is no rule regulation that says I have to get up, but whatever. This was early for me, Joy.
This was early? Oh, boy, do I have an alarm clock for you.
But it is. It's the first time people meet the challenge of being your own boss.
You get to do what you want to do.
In your own life. And so that's why that you're the CEO of your life. What are you going to do today?
Yeah, very neat. Let's go to Cynthia in Menominee next. Hello, Cynthia.
Hello, Joy.
Hi.
I retired at 60. I had my 30 years in, and the future didn't look real bright 5 years ago, 6 years ago for employees. And I went back and got my master's degree, which was always a goal of mine.
Well, there we go. And what was your master's degree in, Cynthia? And did you just do it for the love of learning, or are you applying that now?
No, it was in career and technical education, and my hope was I could go back part-time into the UW system and put to use my 35 years of experience working with students, but budgets didn't work out. So I found out I could substitute teach. I could either work as a paraeducator. I could work as a classroom teacher.
Are you happy with doing that?
I am happy with doing that. I can work 2 or 3 days a week, so I don't wear myself out. I love the kids. This year I seem to have ended up in middle school, which is a challenge.
Good for you.
The kids now know me, and they get excited when they see me and disappointed if they find out I'm not subbing in their classroom.
Aw,
nice.
And then it leaves time for me with my church volunteerism. I babysat for my grandchildren part-time, 2 days a week, and I just filled my day. It's not what I had planned on doing. I wanted to work with non-traditional students, right. But hey, I got a lot of people.
Yeah,
excellent.
The main thing there was how she re-looked at everything. She did a goal, she got the degree, but then it's that creative part, because if you're locked into doing one thing and you can't get there, it's going to be really hard. Joyce, I really applaud you on that one. You did a fine job.
Yeah, and we're looking at someone who went back to school, and she's not alone in that. A lot of people are going, okay, I didn't get that degree. Maybe you were having kids at the time, and they go back and they get that education. And she brings up a really important issue, too, which gets to me, is that you have a lot of people who retire now with the expectation of working part-time. And then they go out into the market and realize the jobs aren't there. I mean, people are seeing a lot of what I call gray heads behind the fast food counter, because that's where the part-time jobs are. But they would be perhaps, from in my opinion, better suited to young people, because I can't stand on my feet that long anymore. But what we really need to do is take a look at, you know, what's out there that would be age-appropriate jobs, part-time jobs for retirees who not only want that thing to do and want to be able to contribute their skills and abilities, but also may have to supplement their income to make it last 25, 30, 40 more years.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because that's the problem is, and that's what I knew. I was not going to get another job. And there are people right now, the largest number of those 55-year-olds that no longer have a job. Between downsizing, between the economy today, it's the 55 and older that are losing jobs. And they can't find another one. They're too young to do that. And we don't have a way to work to get them jobs.
Well, and that's got to be different, too, and just devastating to lose a job at that age and you're not prepared. I mean, that's different than voluntarily retiring.
Exactly. But they're now retired.
Yeah.
With all of that.
Yeah. And that's why you're looking at one out of every four new retiree is looking to start his or her own business.
Right.
I mean, the folks for Small Business Administration are like, oh my gosh.
So what are we going to do with all these people?
We've got these people, but they're also happy. And when we talk to them about looking at starting a business, you have a lot of one-person businesses, people who take their particular skills, their particular abilities, you know, whether that's I want to work with animals and start a dog walking service, or they want to take their abilities as an accountant and open their own office out of their home. It's a wide spectrum of what is that choice that that person wants to do.
And they're the most successful.
Yes.
That's what's happening with the small business, is that those that are now coming out as retirees, because we have a wealth of experience. It's a generation filled with opportunities that we can now create new things, and they're successful.
Yeah, and so there's a new term. I mean, again, we're challenged by language with a lot of this, trying to get rid of the words that have baggage, like, you know, elder and retiree. But there's
and old folks
and old yes, but there's what they now call the retiree entrepreneur. And that's a whole category.
And encore? That's another good word I've heard, encore entrepreneur.
But the retiree entrepreneurs have the best success rate of all entrepreneurs because they have the networks and they have the know-how.
Yeah. And interesting. I've got to start thinking of this differently, because I keep on thinking of ways to spend my money and, like, volunteer my services and not make money in retirement. But there's nothing wrong with that either if you can do it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a lot of we run into a lot of people who had retirement accounts, but either because of the economy or where they was invested. And a lot of them gave them up for their kids, you know, either to buy a house or to deal with a medical emergency or something like that. You know, so things that are not their fault, where they were generous and sacrificed their retirement income, and now they have to go back to work.
Let's go to Sharon in Wauwatosa next. Hello, Sharon.
Hi. I just was so excited to hear all the comments that your guests have been making, because it's kind of exactly what I've been doing. I'm not retired yet. I'm 68, and in the end of the month, I'll be 69, and then in about three months, I'll be retiring. But what I like to call retirement, I don't call it that. I call it my next chapter.
There we go.
So that puts a positive spin on this.
Thank you, Sharon.
You're welcome. A couple of years ago, I saw this this class that was offered by the Wauwatosa Rec Department about becoming a voice actor. So I thought, oh, wouldn't that be fun? So I took the course, and now I'm poised to become a voice actor. I'm setting up my studio, and I'm looking forward to that. And the other thing that I did was I started working from home about 5 years ago. So, you know, when you're in an office for years and years and you work from home, it can be isolating and it is different. But it kind of has prepared me for this next stage of, you know, becoming that entrepreneur, being on my own, being used to setting a schedule for myself. And I'm just excited to hear what all your suggestions are, because it really is true.
they're jumping up and down and cheering, Sharon. What is a voice actor, and what do you hope to do with that?
Well, voice acting in my mind, and what I want to do, is to narrate PSAs and also online learning. My degree is in online learning, and I actually got my PhD about 7 years ago in education, and with a focus on online learning. So that's what I want to do. And, you know, there are different segments of voice acting. Yeah.
Yes, and I just wanted to make sure listeners were aware of what you were saying. It sounds like something, Carol, you would teach a class like that.
Well, I want to know where she was 6 years ago when I was retiring. It's like she could have helped me through this.
Yeah.
Because, boy, she got it together, where you figure out it's a transition to where do I want to be next? And again, not setting so much as an absolute, you know, firm destination, but heading in a direction. She got the education. She, you know, she started trying stuff out, and it's like, wow! It's like I wish I knew what she had thought through. I'd work it out in a different way.
But I think that's great. Taking a class, and then that's leads to what presumably will be a successful voice acting encore career.
Congratulations! And she also might want to try out. They do a lot of training videos nowadays, which need voiceover artists.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I hope you're going to get on retireerebels.com. And would you please make some comments so we can stay in touch with you? So
sure,
go listen to some of the podcasts there, whatever you'd like. And please let us know that you're there on our Facebook page or else on the website.
Yeah. So Sharon is a retiree rebel, right?
Right. Oh, man. She gets the shirt.
Yeah. Yep. You guys got to get a shirt.
Yeah, we have shirts.
You do?
We have shirts and we have mugs. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so can you just purchase this or do you have to do something, you know, rebellious?
Rebellious if you go to Cafe Press.
Yeah. If you go on the website, there's a click
link
on here and you can boldly print. Yes. Go Rebels on
Go
your
Rebels.
Shirt.
I like that next chapter, too.
I love next chapter. Yeah. I'm a past librarian, so that just makes sense in my lifespan, is to be in the next chapter.
Yeah, and if anybody else has terminology that we can use, because the old, quote-unquote, language just doesn't fit anymore. Mary Helen talks about people sitting outside the senior centers saying, I'm too young to go in there. And we know that, and senior centers know that. They refer to us as the young seniors. That's the new term for people in their 60s and their 70s are very active. The terminology just hangs us up a lot. And encore career and the more positive things.
Bonus years.
Bonus
I like
years.
Bonus years.
Bonus years is good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my encore entrepreneur phase.
Yeah, I'm approaching my 60s. I'm not there yet, but just thinking of being called a senior citizen, what?
Yeah. it doesn't fit anymore.
It doesn't fit. Enjoy. Yeah. It was so funny because we've been doing this now for, about 18 months.
Yeah,
almost 2 years. And I left my career job at 62, but I turned 65 this January.
Happy birthday.
And it was a happy birthday, and I love my birthday. But 65 was a different psychological number because we celebrate, the 18, the 21, and then our birthdays are just zeros and fives until you hit 65.
Yeah, that's the big one.
It's a big one. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my, I'm supposed to be dead. Now, I knew I wasn't, but how many people get there and feel like that just because of a number? And it's not true. That's what we try to do with Retiree Rebels. Nearly and newly retired, there is a whole life out there. And come listen and find out and share how you've done it so that we can all get better at this.
Yeah.
Mary Helen Conroy is the author of Your Amazing Itty Bitty Retirement Book. She is also a life coach and a change strategist. She, along with Carol Larson, are the co-creators of Retiree Rebels, which offers blogs and podcasts for the newly and nearly retired. And we are welcoming your questions, your own retirement stories, your successes or your challenges, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about information and advice for the nearly and newly retired with the Retiree Rebels, Carol Larson and Mary Helen Conroy. Welcoming your stories, your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Terry in Superior is with us now. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. I should say I'm happily retired now, but one of the challenges that I faced was retiring from the private working sector was health insurance so you could retire before the age of 65, which you guys just talked about. And I wondered if your guests have ever run into issues with that with some of the people they chat with.
Yeah, I suppose so, huh?
Well, we don't talk about money on Retiree Rebels, but we certainly are aware that money is a huge issue. And medical care, boy, talk about influx today. where are we going with this? I'm not sure.
Right, and you're not here to offer financial advice, but that kind of strain probably would prevent, if you can't afford health insurance, that would prevent people from retiring voluntarily early.
And a lot of people are looking at that just to hold on to their health benefits, and who can blame them today with the kinds of costs that we have? And that's why a lot of people are looking at part-time work to try to supplement their pensions and their Social Security in order to afford it.
Yeah. Let's go next to Bern in Green Bay. Hi, Bern.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call, but I retired back in 2001. I was an educator, so fortunately I was able to sub, which kept me in with the youth. But it also depends on whether you have, you know, good health and things. And I appreciate and accept people who are willing, even despite some kinds of things, like you see more and more people wearing, taking in oxygen or going to the grocery stores, they're using their walkers and canes, which I think is a great thing. But one of the things we have in Green Bay is at the university is called Learning in Retirement, although I heard they just changed their name this last year. And it's a whole number of courses, which sometimes there's only one session, sometimes there's six. It was developed by retirees themselves. And
do you know, Bern, if they just took retirement out of the name?
Yeah, and you know, somebody just told me this last week, and it didn't stick in my head. So
that's fine. But anyway, it's a series of courses that mostly people who are retired take for the knowledge benefit, Bern?
Yeah, yeah, right. And a lot of them are offered by the people themselves. So it's things from games, cards, history, financial things. I was in one called Art and the Novel, where we, you know, studied novel books that referred to an artist. There's poetry. There's music. There's like an offerings of 105 to 110 courses.
Wonderful.
And yeah, and it was actually written up in the New York Times one time as a opportunity for people our age.
And that's, I mean, that continuing education, that lifelong learning is huge, isn't it?
And absolutely. And mm-hmm. It's actually changed the demographics in the United States, because you had a lot of people in the past and before the baby boomers heading for these retirement communities where it was sort of, you know, compartmentalizing the aging process. Now you have a lot of people who are choosing to retire and relocate in college towns. So they're there for the education. Let's catch up. Let's learn some more stuff. Let's have access to cultural events and music and arts and things like that. So, yes, she's right. There are more courses for continued learning that are going on, and people are just flocking them. And we also do what's called the Aging Mastery courses at various senior centers around here, and that's specifically designed for people who are, you know, trying to learn more.
What is that class about?
Aging Mastery is a 10-week program through some of the senior centers. It's a federal program, and it has courses such as healthy relationships, navigating those first years, health, wellness. So, again, contact your senior center, and also SAIL, which is a local village-to-village network in our town. It's called Sharing Adult Independent Lives. They have a 5-week program as well that they've developed. It's getting that information out. And I really like that we're beginning to realize we have to go back to school to figure out how to retire. You know, in a way, we need people that have been there before us, can help us with that. And I think it's great. I thought the other point that you made there was that it was retirees choosing retirement courses that are important for them. Because no one's going to tell a retiree rebel what they need to do.
Yeah. Right.
We need to do this together.
Yeah. And we need to figure it out. And it's not something you just automatically know how to age productively and how to make this transition. And so we have to talk to people like your callers who have the experience and who know how to get through the transition and make you know, make a real individual go of it.
Bern, thanks for the call. You know, I was thinking, I don't think I'm the only one in this situation where I'm still working, and I presume I will be for some time, but I have a retired spouse. I mean, you don't always retire at the same time as your partner retires. So that must...
Should we laugh now for you? And I'm sure that there are so many people out there right now going, yes, we definitely know the story of the gentleman that's finally retired. The woman has been at home or working from home, and he comes home to tell her how to clean the house or how to cook the dinner.
Don't do it, guys. Just don't. It's not good. And it could be the other way around, if he was a house husband.
Yeah, gray divorce is one of the largest other issues that deal with retirement. It's one of the dark sides. Depression and loneliness, our vets, PTSD that is now coming up after 40 years of NAM, and for the first time they have stopped. And we have 16 vets a day that are killing themselves over the depression because they retired. The gray divorce is extremely high.
All of these things sort of come to the fro. I mean, I was a workaholic, so I know what it's like to, you know, suddenly stop, and all of those things that, you know, I didn't deal with came up during retirement, and that's also going on during that transition time.
So we need to see both sides of that.
Yeah.
Because there's good things, freedom, choice, and then there's the darker side, too. It's life.
Right. And Jill in Winnebago, Illinois is with us. Hi, Jill.
Hi there.
Hi. You're going to be retiring soon.
Yes, yes. As I've been telling people, 3 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days.
Who is counting?
Right, exactly. I've been running the family business for 31 years.
Okay.
And it's a small business. It's like a mom and pop business, which means I can't go on vacations. I can go away maybe for a week, but I have two part-time employees. And they work alternate days, and I'm the full-timer there. So that's kind of kept me trapped in it. I am selling my business on August 1st. I am selling my house during this time, and I am buying a motorhome and taking off in the motorhome for two reasons. One, I don't like to clean. And the other is because I don't know what I want to do, but I know it's not in the cold Illinois weather.
Wow, that is what an adventure that's going to be.
Yeah,
I kind of did it all at once. I expect that on August 1st, I'm going to have the closing on my house, the closing on my business, and take off in the motorhome all on the same
day. Do you know where the motorhome's going to park first?
Yeah, I have a 6.5-acre farm, so until I'm ready to take off. But then there's a campground in North Carolina. I raise puppies for Canine Companions for Independence.
Oh, lovely.
There we go.
So, and it's a dog-related campground. So that's my first, to see if I can get some work living there and helping out around the campground.
Excellent.
Well, I'm so jealous, actually.
But remember, you have worked a long time straight through. And when
I'm
you
not
come,
retiring. I'm recycling.
There we go.
Yes.
Repurposing. How's that?
Yeah,
there you go. I like that as
absolutely.
I like that as well. So that's my plan for my retirement.
I think that I'm just, that's that. So a reaction, maybe something that Jill knows what she wants to do and you're not going to tell her what to do, but any thoughts as to
Good to yourself. Mm-hmm. After working for 30 years, you are, make sure you take long naps but not while you're driving. it's your time to smell the roses. You just enjoy that trip. And I think getting out of your locale, especially so you're not going to go back to that store and you're not going to be that close to anybody that's related to that, I think that's really wise.
Yeah.
And she's
really
got the Canine Companion piece waiting for her, too.
The dogs will keep her busy. But don't make any, like, definitive decisions over the next year. You know, just always keep, you know, well, is this what I want to do? Is this where I want to be? And you don't have to set anything in stone right away.
We have just a minute to go. And we will have you back, I'm sure, to talk more about these issues. But Mary Helen, first, with 30 seconds, is there something the person who is close to retirement should think about before actually pulling the plug?
They should think about going to RetireeRebels.com. Seriously, there's over 70 podcasts right now on a variety of topics, from health, loneliness, being in a ukulele group, input adjustment. We really want to help to make that easy for them.
And I would think if you even are newly retired or retired at all, you'd get some benefit out of that information.
We get a lot of people who have been retired for 15, 16, 20 years, and they're still coming to us and saying, yeah, you got it, and thank you for helping us figure it out.
Well, thank you both very much for being here. It's been fun.
Our pleasure.
And Carol Larson and Mary Helen Conroy, they are the co-creators of Retiree Rebels. Thanks to Brianne Chasseau and to Cheryl Gasser for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.